Well, let's open our Bibles. We do this, and we read this when we open our lessons. We started doing this, and I believe this is a good practice, giving the society and the world that we live in today, it's becoming more apparent that this is what's lacking, the love of God. And let's read out loud, because faith comes by hearing, and the more you hear it, the more faith comes. So let's read John chapter 3 and verses 16, 17, and 18. Let's read that out loud together so you can hear yourself read it. And when you get there, say amen. Now I'm going to read from the King James Version. You can read from whatever version you have. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And I'll tell you, the more I read this, the more real it becomes. You know, if you look at this, I know Minister Joe started to preach this lesson today, but when you look at it, this is faith in action right here. God not only loved us, but he did something. He acted. He sent his Son to be our substitute. He became sin for us, took our sins to hell. But also in verse 17, it said here, he sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world and to condemn people. And so neither should we, if we're his representatives and we are the body of Christ. Amen. Now let's open our Bibles. I want to start here today, Mark 11, 23, if we could. Let's look here. This, and then we're going to look at Hebrews 11, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. We're going to look at Mark 11, 23. And the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians that we are to do what? Walk, 2 Corinthians 5, 7, we're to walk by faith and not by sight. And Mark 11, 22, I'm going to come back up here a little bit. And actually, if you look at this story, you can actually go back and start to read how Jesus came into, where it says here in verse 12, Bethany. He came, and of course, he was hungry. And he didn't find fruit on the tree and expected it. And verse 14, "And Jesus answered and said unto this tree," says, "no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." And it said, "his disciples heard it." And of course, you can continue from verse 15, they came back through the next day. And verse 20, it says, "in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away." Like that was a surprise to Jesus. "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God." Or my margin says, "Have the faith of God." And they also, from what I read, the actual Greek a translation is that of that is to have the faith of God. So what we read after he's going to show us what the faith of God is. And so verse 23, "For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." So now we see here, let me continue in verse 24. "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them." Verse 25, "And when we stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." So verse 23, you can see the God kind of faith here is saying. There's no praying here. So faith can be accomplished through saying. The God kind of faith can be accomplished through saying and not praying. But also in verse 24, the God kind of faith can be accomplished through praying. But if you're praying, you still got to say something. And it has to be said in faith. So we're not just praying empty words, we're praying in faith. Or, in verse 23, you're saying something in faith. Okay. And let me read some of these from some other translations that may help. And the word faith, when you look that word up, maybe another word, you know, because sometimes it's used so often, it's a little obscure, or we kind of just, we say, yeah, I have faith. But what does that really mean? What does that mean to you? Faith, if you look it up in other translations, it means to have confidence. It means to have an assurance. So when I have faith, I'm confident when I pray something's coming to pass. I don't just say, well, I have faith. Yeah, okay, I'll have faith. And what does that mean? When something hard comes against your life, all of a sudden you don't have confidence. So to have faith means to have assurance and means to have confidence. So let me read this. These are some other various translations. This is a translation called the Knox translation. It says, "And has no hesitation in his heart, but is sure that what he says is to come about." That means you have no hesitation. That means when I speak, I expect that to come to pass. And I have no hesitation. None. Here's another. This is the Berkeley translation. It says, "And entertains no inner doubt." That means when you say something, that means I believe it's coming to pass and I have no inner doubts. We can achieve this. You know how this is talking about, this is not, well, I'm big and bad, I believe. Because you can believe up to a certain point with human faith. But the God kind of faith can be achieved by feeding on the Word of God, where you actually will have no inner doubts about what God has promised you. If He has spoken something in God's Word, then that means it's true. He says, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." So what He speaks is true. So if he said something, he said, what does he say in the Bible, in Malachi, and trying to remember here, and also in Titus, he said, let me read it to you. He said, "I lie not, I cannot lie, God, the God that cannot lie." right? Isn't that what the scripture says? God cannot lie. Titus says, in hope of eternal life, Titus 1:2, which God that cannot lie. In Numbers, it also said, Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. That means he cannot lie. So if he has said something in his word, he cannot change. Does that register? If he says, when Jesus was on this earth, when somebody came up and said, Lord, heal me, will you heal me? He said, I will. He cannot change. That means if he said, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, then he can't change that. Why is that? Because Jesus came and became sin for us and took sin to hell. And he said he rose with the keys of hell and death. So that means he cannot change. The devil has been defeated. He wants to make you think he hasn't been by the troubles and issues. You think about this. When Adam, before Adam fell, God crowned him with glory. He was the God of this world. And then he fell. And he turned over his authority to who? Who'd he turn over his authority to? The devil. Who tempted him, tempted Eve, and he turned it over. And so the Bible says he's the God of this world. But Adam was the first God of this world, under God. So, let me read a few more of these verses here, translations. This is the Weymouth translation. Has no doubt about it in his heart, but steadfastly believes that what he says will happen, it will be granted to him. This is Mark 11:23 in the Weymouth translation. Let me read this. This is the Douay translation. That's a translation. The Douay Rheims is a Catholic version or translation of the Bible. And shall not stagger in his heart. That's what we read almost in Romans chapter 4. The Berkeley, it says, entertains no inner doubt. Now listen to this. This is the Johnson translation. And this is where most of us have lived, and we're trying to not live here. It says, truly, anyone who speaks to that mountain yonder, saying, dump yourself in the lake, and does not become separated from the statement he makes, that person will actualize his statement. Here's what happens with faith. Faith comes, and then we begin to speak something in faith, and a problem comes, and we become separated from what we said by saying what? Something else. And so, faith, let's go back and read it. I'm going to read it again from the King James. It says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he will say shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So that means I don't become separated from my faith statement. And God, think about what Hebrews 11:6 says. It's impossible, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we have to, if God says something in his word, then by faith we believe it, and our confession, our words give expression to what we believe. So if I read this and I get to the place of, I believe this, then my confession affirms my belief. You say, well, show me something. How many in here are born again? How many have asked Christ to come into their heart? How many have done so? Some have. So here's a question. Let's go over to Romans chapter 10, and let's look at this here a second. Romans chapter 10, and look at verse 9. Or back up and we'll look at verse 8. This is Romans chapter 10, and look at verse 8. It says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Now look at verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. So you have to believe, but believing's not enough. What does it say? And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you can see the same principle here, speaking and saying. Believing in the heart that what you said shall come to pass. And in this case here, you shall be saved. So let's continue. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 11, and let's take a look here. We're talking about faith is an action. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look at verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. And I want you to, my desire is that you walk away from these lessons with an understanding of faith and how to apply this in your everyday life. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance. In my Bible, in the margin, it says, the ground or confidence. See, so faith is a ground or a foundation or a confidence of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So let me read a few translations here. This is a translation, the Berkeley translation. It says, but faith forms a solid ground for what is hoped for, a conviction of unseen realities. So you have a conviction of something you can't see. This is faith. And some may say, well, I'm not there yet. I don't have that type of conviction. You can get there. That's what the Bible says. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith can come and form what I would call, how many when you were growing up heard, you know, that person had an inner strength? You ever hear that term used? People say they have an inner conviction, an inner strength. Most times, them people that we're talking about were people that were either, we're not talking about just strong people, but usually, in a lot of cases, people that had a strong inner conviction, it translated outward from on the outside. And people would say, they're just a strong person. Well, yes, that's true, They are a strong person, but most times that inner strength people took as they're just strong. You understand what I mean? And we thought it was their personality. And usually sometimes you could take a person that had a very strong personality, but inside was very weak. You ever know people like that? I have. There was an outer strength, but inside they were like a little mouse as far as their convictions were concerned. So here, let me read this here, a few other translations. The Weymouth. Now, faith is a well-grounded assurance for that for which we hope, and a conviction of the reality of things we do not see. The Williams translation, it says, faith is the assurance of things we hope for. Here's the Jordan translation. Now, faith is the turning of dreams into deeds. It is betting your life on the unseen realities. This inner strength or inner conviction or inner assurance is the ground, is the foundation of what our expectations rest on. So because I'm convinced, think of it this way, let me read this again so you can kind of get a little of this here. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance. Faith is the confidence. Faith is the assurance of things you hope for. Now, when you look up that word hope, it means expectation. What are you expecting to come to pass? So because I'm confident of something, I'm confident in God because he cannot lie, I expect it to come to pass. Does that make sense? Because I'm confident that God promised me something, I expect it to come. And just like when Reverend Annie was here recently and Kevin, she used the example of a GPS. And she said, when you set your GPS to a destination, what is that destination? That destination could be healing. And so that destination is promised by God. I'm expecting to go to that destination. And as she put it, which was very well put, that when I set that destination on my GPS, there's an ETA, an estimated time of arrival. But some of us, as she put it, are more concerned about the ETA than the destination. And so what happens is when I set that destination and it starts to take a little too long, I begin to think maybe I'm on the wrong road. So I get off the road that sends me to that destination. And so it's the same thing, as she said in the natural. Your ETA can change in the natural going to your determined destination because of what? Road conditions. Does not mean that your destination is wrong. It just means the time will take a little longer. And so it's the same thing where God is concerned. If he's promised something, I'm confident that it will come to pass. So if it's taking whatever time it takes, it's not my concern. I'm expecting it to come. And because I'm expecting it to come, it shall come to pass. And I don't become separated from my words. I don't start saying, well, maybe he didn't mean that. maybe I'm on the wrong road. So the faith that takes something, the faith that acts, is keeping my words in agreement with what I believe. So that's the faith that acts. Faith that acts is keeping my words in agreement. Now, let's take a look at, let's jump over to James right there. Let's take a look at James chapter 2. And here's something to keep in mind. Faith, you know, because when we talk about faith, sometimes people have the idea that when I believe something and I speak something, it should happen instantly. Well, let me ask this question. When you went and decided you wanted to go to the gym and get in shape, did you get in shape instantly? No. Did you lose weight instantly? No. It's a process, right? It's a process, getting in shape. If you went to the gym and they loaded up the barbells and put 200 pounds on there, some here may be able to bench press it. Others would just look at it and go, you got to be kidding me, right? Because we have not developed ourselves to pick up that amount of weight. And so the same thing, faith, where God is concerned, it's measurable. Faith is measurable. We've all, as new believers, it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, we've all been given a measure of faith. So we all start at the same place. Everybody starts with the same measure. But we all have to do something with it. And we all have to develop that. So let me read a few. You can jot these down. So faith is measurable. You can look these up. Matthew 14 and verse 31. This is when Jesus spoke to Peter. And Peter said, Lord, if that be you, bid me come. He said, come. Well, what happened? Peter got out of the boat. He's walking on the water. And then it says he became afraid because he began to look at the waves, and he began to sink. And the Lord immediately reached out his hand, took him, and they got back in the boat. And Jesus said, O ye of little faith. Right? So that's one. Matthew 8, verse 10. This is the centurion. So the centurion comes to Jesus. And he said, you know, my servant is sick. And Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. He said, no, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come into my house. He said, but just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And then he began to say, I'm a man under authority. I say, go, and they go. I say to my servant, come, and he comes. He said, if you just speak the word only, he said, my servant will be healed. And Jesus turned and said to the disciples, I haven't seen such great faith, no, in all Israel. So we have one instance of little faith. Here the centurion's talking about great faith. Jesus is talking about the centurion with great faith. And let me read this. This is Romans chapter 4. This is Paul talking about Abraham, and he's talking about faith, and he's talking about the father of us all, the faith of Abraham. But in verse 19, it says, and being not weak in faith. So we have another instance here. We have little faith, great faith, weak faith, right? And being not weak in faith, he did what? He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. And you can also look up in Mark 4 and verse 40, when Jesus was in the boat with them, and they said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And so he talked to them and he said, "You got no faith." So we have no faith, little faith, weak faith, strong faith, great faith. Faith is measurable and it needs to be developed. And so sometimes what happens is when we talk about faith that acts, sometimes people have faith. They have faith. They get faith from the Word of God. They begin to act, but it's not been developed. And so they start to try to reach for things that are beyond where their faith level is. Does that make sense? So you try to lift up some weights that you haven't done before, and you go, "I can do this." No, I can't. Right? Same thing where faith is concerned. Sometimes we try to reach for things. We believe we have confidence to do that, and we may start out in confidence, but when things don't appear to change, we give up, and we start talking contrary. Our faith was working, but then we give up. Why? Because we don't see something. Faith walks, we have to walk by what? Walk by faith and not by sight. So when things don't appear to be changing, you still walk by faith. Why? Because you have an inner assurance that God promised, and it's coming to pass. Now, I'm going to couch all of that in this, that even with that, in Romans chapter 8, it says that we are to be led by the Spirit of God. Now, I'm going to share this. I've had instances where God has supernaturally healed me in my body, time and time again. And I had a situation 15, 16 years ago where I had some stomach thing going on here, and I'm making light of it. I was in pain 24 hours a day for a year, not a few months, a year. And I sang, and I sang with the choir, and I led with Pastor Clinton, right, Donna? You remember, right? And nobody knew. I got out there, and sometimes I had to hold on to the pulpit because of the pain. And anybody who knows that got pain, when you sing, you push from here. You're pushing from here singing. So the pain was even more exacerbated. But I was convinced that God had healed me. And I didn't get off it. Wouldn't budge. And so I was on vacation. This was in July with my family. My mother and father, family, and so forth. And when I got home, I'm in pain. A lot of pain. And I'm in the shower, just kind of standing there, letting the water run on me. And I heard down here, real quiet, not da-da-da-da, you know, that kind of thing, you know, not Gabriel. And I heard very softly, "If you don't go to the doctor and get your stomach checked, you won't see the end of this year." And this is the truth. I stood there and I went, July, August, September, October, November, December. That's only 6 months. Interesting. And I kept showering, and I didn't do anything for 2 weeks because I was so convinced that I was healed. But then I said, "Fool, that was the Holy Ghost that spoke to you. You better go to the doctor because he knows something that you don't know." And so I did. And so the long and the short of it was that I had gotten my body in disrepair because of just bad nutrition and bad diet. So we can get over into some things. Now, I'm not saying that God couldn't have healed me supernaturally, but that stomach problem healed in 2 weeks by changing my diet. Now, it fully restored itself in 6 months, but in 2 weeks, the pain was gone. And all I did was change my diet. He knew something I didn't know. But yet, I've been home, high temperature, things instantly healed, gone. So it's important to be led by the Spirit of God. We have inner confidence. We're things that God has promised us, but we need to be led by His Spirit also. If He tells you, if you have a leading and you're not comfortable in an area and you're being nudged to go to the doctor, please go to the doctor because he knows something you don't know. It could be as simple as your faith is not developed to the place to stand against that. Does that make sense? Now, that's not to say that some can't stand and God can't supernaturally heal them. But he knows our frame. He knows us inside. So, all of that to say that our faith needs to be developed. So let's go back to James chapter 2. And let's look at this. Because this is where we live. Faith is measurable. Faith is an assurance. Now I'm also going to say some few other words that when you get to James chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 17 through 26. But also, think about this. When God spoke something, when he said, "Let there be light," his words that he spoke, were they just words? Those words were breathed with power. His words were breathed with power. So when we speak, see, when we talk about I have assurance and I have confidence, the words that I speak need to be filled with the God kind of faith. See, so this isn't just words being spoken, I believe that I'm healed. No, it's faith. Filled words. What kind of faith? The God kind of faith. How does that come? It comes from the Bible. And where is it planted? In our hearts, in our spirit. So that God kind of faith resides on the inside. And when coming out of the heart, faith-filled words change things. They change things. If God has shown you something and prompted you to do something, you may not find chapter and verse, but I will say this, you know, so often I hear, you know, people will say, well, you know, I have this in my life. I can't, you know, I'm busy all the time. You may have desires. I'm going to just say this. When you have desires to serve God and to do something for God, I'll give you an example. I went through a period of my life where I had to work two jobs. I was working my main job 9 to 5, and then I was working evenings to make some extra money. Actually, in that time of my life, I was in debt. So I had to work two jobs. And I remember the Holy Spirit, I was going to this second job, and it was like sawdust in my mouth. Anybody understand what that means? I didn't want to be there. But I was doing it to make the extra money. I didn't want to be there. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, I want you to quit this job and go to Bible study on Wednesday. You know, I'm like, Lord, maybe you didn't see my bills, but if I don't work this second job, I'm in trouble. And so I yielded to that. I yielded to that. That's faith in action. I knew it was God speaking, and I said, okay, you want me to go, I'm going to go. I quit this second job, And the long and short was that God began to open up opportunities. I began to get some increases at work. And so the point was that you have to be led. You've got to have God lead you. And I really wanted to be a Bible study. I wanted to grow in the things of God. So God will lead each one of us differently, but if there are desires that you want to do something or be somewhere, you need to start saying, I believe God's going to do such and such. I believe God's going to open up opportunities for me to do this. And that doesn't mean you quit your job. You may need that job. You may need that extra money, but do it as led. Do it when God tells you to leave. James chapter 2. Verse 17. I'm going to read from the King James here for a minute. It says, even so, if faith hath not works, is dead being alone. So faith has to have what we might call a corresponding action. So faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So faith may come. So now I have faith. I have an inner confidence. I have assurance. But confidence and assurance is dead being alone. There has to be an action. We read that in John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave. So he loved the world, but he had to do something. So here we see here, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works? Why? When he offered Isaac his son upon the altar. Verse 22, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And you can continue down in verse 26, the same thing. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So think about this, same thing. If you were to die and your spirit left your body, your body would fall to this ground in a heap. Why? Because your spirit's not in it. Your spirit gives expression and life to this body. Thus, your faith-filled words give expression to your faith, your belief. So your believing has to be accompanied by something. Your confidence and assurance must be accompanied by your words. Otherwise, it's like this body without an expression, without having a spirit. That's what it said here. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works, faith without an expression or an action is dead. I brought this out as an example. This glove has no life in it. There's nothing. It's just a glove. There's no nothing. But when I stick my hand in the glove, then it has life, it has expression. So the same thing, this faith that we have must be accompanied by faith-filled words. So faith, if it's true God kind of faith, what do we read in Mark 11:23? It says, whosoever shall say, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. It's expressing and doesn't doubt in their heart, but believes that the things that they say shall come to pass, they shall have whatsoever they sayeth. So faith must be expressed. Faith must be acted upon. I'll give you another example. How many find it easy to walk in love towards someone that they don't like? That's what I figured. It's not easy to walk in love towards somebody you don't like. But this doesn't say faith that's easy expresses itself, right? Doesn't say that. It says faith, it's true faith, living faith, acts. Not based on how we feel. The God kind of faith is what? Convinced and assured of something. And faith works by love. That's what the Bible says. So that means that when we're confronted with someone that we don't like, we really don't like them. You offended me, you bugged me, whatever it is, whatever that is, whatever button was pushed. And you'd rather not be there. As a matter of fact, you'd rather pop somebody. When you act in love, it didn't say act because you feel like it. I'm sure when God sent his son, he didn't. Now, God, I'm not trying to bring him down to our level, but it said he loved and sent his son. He wasn't thrilled about how we were acting here. I'm sure. But he sent his son, and even in Ephesians, it says, when we were yet dead in our sins, he raised us up together in him and seated us in heavenly places in Christ. So that means that legally, Christ died for every person that ever was, is, and will be. That means legally, because in order for us to be saved, in order for him to offer salvation, it had to already have been done. So that means that there's no person ever that can't accept Christ, or it can't become a reality. They're already saved. They just don't know it. And they have to believe, just like a person that's been incarcerated in jail, their debt's been paid. You can walk free. All you got to do is believe it, accept the provision, the one that sets you free, serve him, and you're free. You're redeemed. So that action that we have has to be, our faith must be expressed. That's what we're saying here. Let me read this. This is James 2:17 from the New English Bible. It's the King James says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. This is the New English Bible. So with faith, if it does not lead to action, it is in itself a lifeless thing. That's what we were just talking about. Faith is lifeless unless it's accompanied by an action. There must be an action. So when I don't feel like operating in love in a situation, I may believe that I should, but then I may choose to say, I ain't doing that. See, so then no, there was an action, but it was contrary to your belief. See, so your action was different than what you believe. And that's really what we were saying before here when it said, don't let your words be separated from your belief. So I may say, and we hear this you know, people that are Christians act un-Christian-like. Isn't that what we hear constantly from the media and people say, yeah, you're a Christian, you sure don't act like one. Right? So that's what we're dealing with here, is that faith must be acted upon. This is another translation. It's called the WAND, W-A-N-D. So faith, if it does not issue in act, expires with itself. That's pretty strong. So your faith expires with itself unless there's an action. It's dead. It's lifeless. So this here, I could believe, this is my belief. I believe in gloves. But if I don't put this glove on and do something with it and act on it, it's lifeless. So I can believe in love. Oh yeah, I love my neighbor till my toes are stepped on, and then I don't act in love. It's talk. That's all it was. It's lifeless. And so what we're talking about here is that faith, let me read it from the Amplified, verse 22. And in the King James, it said, "Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by his works was faith made perfect." That means it was developed. And you can, in the Amplified, it says, "You see that his faith was cooperating with his works." This is what the Amplified says. "You see that his faith was cooperating with his works, and his faith was completed and reached its supreme expression when he implemented it by good works." So it reached a place of completion. It reached a level of maturity or growth when we acted. Does that make sense? So when we are in life and we're confronted with things in life, faith or my belief or my convictions without an action are empty. They're lifeless. And this is really where, you know, you can go back and think of some other scriptures. You know, one that comes to mind is that it says, that which is not of faith is what? Sin. So, what does that mean to me? That means if I know to do something, and when I say know to do something, that means I have clarity of mind, I have understanding, I have a conviction about something, and I know to do something and I don't do it, that's sin for God. But if I don't understand something and I'm not clear about something and I don't act on it, that's not sin. A lot of people hear the Bible, but do they really understand it? Do they have faith in that particular area? See, we're held accountable for things that we know, but things that we understand and grasp. That's what God holds us accountable to. So again, faith without works is dead. And so the faith that acts is the faith that begins to mature and grow. So you have to, you must act on what you believe. Let me just read a few verses here as we closing here. Let me read this. This is in Jeremiah. It says, "Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen. Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it." So he's watching over his word. That's what the Amplified says. He watches over his word to perform it. And also in Isaiah 55:11, it says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So faith is going to have to be developed and nurtured or acted upon. And one last scripture. I was meditating on this last night. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And let's look at verse 7. You know, when faith increases, we talk about little faith, no faith, little faith, weak faith, strong faith, great faith. Faith is measurable. But then that means also when we talk about the words that I speak are filled with power, that also means that there's a power associated with the words that I speak. We could also say there's an anointing upon the words that I speak. Would you not agree with that? When Jesus said to Peter, come, that word that he spoke had power upon it and an anointing upon it. So that's why it's important that when we speak things, the things that we speak should have power in it or an anointing. Now look at Ephesians chapter 4. And look at verse 7. It says, but unto every one of us is given grace, but look at the next word, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So the grace that we receive is according to the measure of the gift of Christ, which is, in this case, the measure of faith. So, faith is measurable, and we can see here, grace is given to us according to the measure of the gift of Christ, which is according to the measure of faith. Which, again, when we go back, faith acted upon, we're talking about faith that acts. Faith must be acted upon. So in other words, when you believe something, when you're assured of something, you're convinced of something, what's the next thing that has to happen? There has to be an action. There has to be an action, first of all, with your words, but then God will prompt you to do something. I know for me, I'm thinking of another instance. I was home. I had a very serious high temperature. And so I decided to stay home and listen to a teaching tape for just 24 hours. So I stayed home and played this cassette tape over and over. You can tell how long ago that was. Got to the end, click, turn it over, play it, click, turn it over. And so I did that for over 24 hours. And usually, you know, with things that go on in the body, they will begin to change over a period of time. Fevers, colds, things like that. Well, this wasn't changing. And so I began to continue to listen to this tape and listen to it and listen to it to get faith on the inside. And it was based on healing, this particular teaching. And so after about 24 hours, I decided, well, let me call the doctor so you could see where my faith was. So I called the doctor and I said, you know what, maybe I'll make an appointment. But what happened was I'm in bed and it felt like a volcano erupting on the inside. Faith had grown and grown and grown and grown by listening to teaching, just listening and listening and listening. So faith exploded on the inside. And when I was laying in bed, it was like an eruption, and I spoke in tongues, and it came out like a sword. And I knew I had it. My outer symptoms didn't change. What did I do? In faith, I was so convinced that I had this healing. I got up, dragged myself in the shower, got dressed, and went into work. I was so weak I couldn't sit up for 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Had to lay down. But it was immediate. There has to be an action. There's got to be a corresponding action to a confidence or an assurance that you have. And your faith is going to grow. So where my faith may be, your faith may not be at the same level. So don't maybe step out on the things that I may step out on. That's the thing that sometimes teachers will get up and share an experience. Don't do what I did. Do what your faith is at that point. Where is your confidence in God at that level that you're at? Does that make sense to anybody? Faith is measurable. So where is your confidence in the Word of God that you act upon? And that said, your faith is then developed and it grows. So as you continue to grow, turn over to Matthew 7 for a second. Matthew 7. Let's look at this scripture here, verse 24. Matthew 7 and verse 24. It says, "Therefore, whosoever," so that's us, "heareth these sayings of mine," and what? "Doeth them. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and did what? Beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock." And it continues. "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." So if we're going to be likened unto a wise man or a wise person, we've got to build our house upon the Word of God, which means when faith comes, it must be acted upon. And when we do, we're building down deep upon a foundation. Every time we do, we're building this foundation. We're building upon the rock, the Word of God. And when we dig down deep and we build this foundation, when the floods and the winds and the stuff happens in life, we will not fall because our house is built on the Word of God. Not just because we read it, because we heard it and we acted upon it. Because I'm telling you, all you've got to do is turn the news on to see what's going on in life, in society. What are you going to do when things begin to unfold? Things, I mean, even the Bible says things are going to get darker and darker and darker and darker. So that means things in society are going to get worse and worse and worse. But for us, if we've built our house upon a rock and all of these pressures and forces are unleashed in life and against you and affect you, it won't affect you. See, that's what this is saying. That your house will stand. And that's where we live. That's why faith is so important, and the operation of faith and operating faith, that we should always be operating it to trust and believe God for something that we need in life. Because there's going to get a point, we don't want to wait to have to now try to lift up 200 pounds and I can't, because I haven't been developing my faith muscles to do that, so that when something happens in life, that I can trust God and know that he's going to fulfill something for me. See, we don't want to wait till that happens, where we need something from God. This is what I see as a pastor. More often than not, I would say, and it bothers me sometimes, that people get into very difficult situations, either financially, family-wise, with their husband or wife or children, or health-wise, and they have not been developing their faith. That when a crisis comes, we're here. But it's almost like they want you to rub a little bottle or rub some little, push a button or do something to clear it all up. It doesn't work that way. You'd like it to. Your heart reaches out in compassion. And you can pray, you get an agreement, you console, but what happens is, if you live long enough, you're going to be faced with issues in life. And if you don't develop your faith, it's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. And in some cases here, it says you may fail because you've built your house on sand. But the reality is, if we're developing our faith all the time, we're releasing words of faith, we're feeding on the Word of God, not the news. That don't build faith, that builds fear. And so when we build faith, when things happen, we have an inner confidence that it's going to be okay. I'm speaking words of power and life in my life that will keep us steady, will keep us above ground, above water. Does that make sense? But too often what happens is folks are confronted with issues where they've got this complex web of stuff going on, and they've not developed their faith. They haven't walked in love. The husband and wife haven't walked in love. Yeah, they're in love, but they haven't walked in love towards each other. And so now you have a problem that comes up, and they don't know how to operate. They operate humanly towards as best they can. But they are not operating with the God kind of love towards each other. What does that mean? When one person's not acting too nice, you operate in the love of God towards the other person. And so what happens is, when you get into these very complex situations, even where health is concerned, God may be nudging somebody, change your diet, live differently, exercise. Well, I ain't doing that. And now all of a sudden, you've got yourself in a very difficult situation. They haven't been exercising their faith concerning their covenant promises with God. And then all of a sudden, they want something fixed. How does that get fixed? Yeah, we're going to have to now develop your faith under crisis. And that's what happens. We're trying to operate faith in a crisis mode. That's not how to operate it. That's not the best environment. Not to say you don't operate, but a lot of times now we're operating and trying to get our faith muscles built up in a crisis. Well, when do we want to operate? All the time. That's what the Bible says. Faith without works is dead. So that means we got to be operating it all the time, constantly. That means if you're looking for a parking spot, thank you, Jesus, for my parking spot right near the store. Now, that may seem silly, but you're operating your faith. I believe for favor concerning my job. You might be comfortable. Hey, okay, that's good. So God opened a door. Believe, stretch your faith. I mean, if you work in a gym, are you satisfied with pushing weights at a certain level? No, everybody that pushes weights wants to do what? Push more weights, go higher, get the weights up. And so it's the same with faith. Faith pleases God. So I reached a certain point. What do I want to do? Stretch for something that's higher and beyond what I can believe for. Brother Hagin said it when he was alive. He said, set your goals high. He said, I'd rather set my goals high and reach the half of them than set them at nothing and get all of them. So set your faith high. Set it so high that you, there's no way you could reach it. You'd say, how could I do that? God. Set it high. Even if you reached half of them, it's better than not setting anything, right? So when it comes to life in general, hey, think about this. If you had, you know, I think about these things. You ever think about actors and actresses? They have a lot of them. They have more money than they know what to do with. They got so much money because of things that they do that they're not concerned about money. They invest, they buy, they give away. They dream. They conceive of things. Why aren't you doing the same thing? God said, I wish above all things that you prosper. Did he say how much to prosper? He said, prosper and be in health. So my question becomes, why shouldn't you believe God for abundance, not to consume it upon you, help other people? What if you had three homes? You could help somebody. So what's wrong with that? What if you had three cars? Here, use my car today. I got a couple of extras. What if you had extra funds and money to help the gospel? See, that's what I'm talking about. Stretch your faith to the point where I'm reaching for more to help, to do more for people. Stretch your faith muscles. Amen. I've gone too long. But I'm just, it's one of these things that you just, I believe that you're getting something out of this. It's making you think about faith. And I think about it a lot. Because turn one more. I'll give you one more scripture. I know you thought I was finished. I am finished. But think, I'm going to just give you one more. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I think about this because I do this quite a bit. And look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. What are we supposed to do? It says, examine yourselves, what? Whether ye be in the faith, bless you. Prove your own selves, know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. But the point was, when you look at the first part, it says, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. So we're to examine ourselves and see, am I, number one, this is saying in the faith, but are you in faith? Examine yourselves. So we need to do a checkup. And we examine ourselves. Am I walking in faith? Am I acting in faith? Am I working this thing? See? And it's good to do a checkup periodically. You think you're in faith? Okay. Am you? Are you? See? Praise God. Glory to God. Now, I know I got you all stirred up, but set some goals. You know, it's nice to get stirred up, think about it, but set some goals like we do in life. We set goals, set some faith goals. Set some things that are way out beyond you, whatever that is. Whether it's family, finances, health, set some goals that you can look back, you know, a few months from now, 6 months from now, a year from now, and say, I've met that goal consistently. Write it down. You know, sometimes, I'm going to say this, things that you value, you pursue. Things that you value that mean something to you, we write them down. When we value something, we write it down. I make notes of things. And I go back and I review them. So set some faith goals if you value that. Set some faith goals and keep it visible. Keep your eyes on it. Look on it and say, I'm going to do that in Jesus' name. I'm going to reach that in Jesus' name. I mean, we do no different. Think about in the natural. People say, I'm going to get a college education. And they work towards that. Or they say, I'm going to get a doctorate. And they work towards that, and they do what? They put action to it. And they set a goal, and they go after it. To me, it's no different. I'm going to set some faith goals, and I'm not letting go till I reach it. Amen. That pleases God. Glory to God.